Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
We would go to church every Sunday, but I didn't really understand why I was going or what I was learning, and I didn't have a relationship with God. December of 2019, my dad passed away because he had cancer. From like the moment he took his last breath, I really stopped believing in God because I thought if God really loved me, then why would he take my best friend and my father away from me? I really struggled with that for a long time. Then one of my neighbors one day was like, hey, why don't you come to church with me? And I was super hesitant to let God back into my life because I didn't want to get hurt again. I thought about it a little more and then I accepted, and the church turned out to be First Pres. And from the moment I walked in the doors, it just was like, the Holy Spirit's presence was so intense, and I felt so welcomed and loved and cared for. I started creating a relationship with God, and I started reading the Bible. And since I accepted Christ, I've met so many amazing Christians that have helped me with my journey of faith, and they've helped me see who God is and then who I am through how God is working in my life. We have this amazing God and this amazing Father that will always be there for you, even when you feel like no one else is. And even though I don't have my Father here on earth, like present with me, like I always will have the Father no matter what happens in my life.
Amen. Now that's Sophie. She graduates from high school in a couple weeks. And she knows her Father in heaven. Happy Easter. He's risen. Amen. Amen. We're celebrating that. He's right here with us. I'm going to read to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Verses 11 to 18. So if you brought a Bible, or the scripture will be right in front of you. You don't have to have a Bible with you today. And we're going to be looking at this passage. This is a passage about a young lady named Mary Magdalene. And what's happened is that she's gone to the tomb where she knew that Jesus' body, just 2 days before, had been laid to rest. And she's gone to that tomb. So as we open up this this passage before us, I want to ask you if you would just pray that your own heart, your own mind would be open. Lord, we know this Bible is different. We know when we look in this book that this is a book that you actually use to talk to us. And so we pray that you would do that this morning. God, that you would talk to us in a way that we can hear, that we could hear your voice, that you would open our minds. Don't let us be closed-minded. Open our hearts. Don't let us be closed-hearted to what you have to say. Jesus, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 20, 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes God lets you see things that you didn't see before. And once you've seen them, you don't unsee them. You know them. You see them forever now. Here's an example. When you have friends or you have visitors, family members who come to Colorado Springs, what do you like to take them to go see? Go ahead, shout it out. That's like the first one, right? Garden of the Gods. Like, let's go see Garden of the Gods, which is really nice. You know, it's really beautiful. It's really pretty. And then what do? You go to Garden of the Gods, and you stand there. You're looking at these beautiful red rock formations. And what do you always say? You say, and there's the kissing camels. And your friend says, what? Camels? Like, yeah. And I'm terrible at this. I mean, Abigail's a lot better at this than I am. I'm like, yeah, right there. Camel. Look at the humps on the top of the rocks. It's like camels. Like, huh? I don't get it. Abigail says, look at the diamond-shaped hole at the top of the rock formation. Right there. Look right there. It looks like two camels facing each other, locking lips. And then they go, oh! They see it. And now once you see it, once you see the kissing camels, what happens from now on? You always see it. I mean, you can't not see it. Like you look over at you don't even see rocks anymore. You see two camels making out. And it's never the same, because you've seen something different. Some people say they can see the face of Jesus on Pike's Peak. Is anybody in here who says, I can see the face of Jesus in Pike's Peak? Scanning. Wow. Okay. Some people say that. I'm serious. Has anybody said that to you? Scanning. Yes. Okay. Yes. See, you're in my camp because I can't see it. I've stood there and looked at it, and someone's like, right there, it's a face of Jesus. And after a while, like I pretend. Ah. Sometimes you see things you couldn't see before. And here's the thing. The Bible is like that. Scripture is like that. Sometimes you've read a passage like 20 times, 40 times. You've read a passage 100 times. And then you read it the 101st time and something jumps out at you and you see something that you never saw before. You say, wow. Some of you are here because you come to church religiously on Christmas and Easter, right? And Christmas and Easter. That's okay. I'm really super glad that you're here. It's awesome that we come. And someone before was really sheepish about that. I was like, that's great, man. I'm glad you're here. But what happens when you do that is you get the same passages. You know that, right? Like I get the passage about Jesus being born. I get the passage about Jesus coming out of the tomb, like that. So you get these on repeat, you know. And this passage, you've probably heard this passage before. If that's where you are, you know, you've heard this because this is the big Easter passage. But I want to show you something in this passage that I wonder if you've seen it before. See, here's what happens. Mary, this Mary Magdalene, she's one of Jesus' friends, one of his followers. She gets up early on Sunday morning. She goes down to where Jesus' body was buried, where they laid his body in a tomb, and she sees that the tomb is opened up. See, here's what happened. They were going through life together. Jesus was teaching them. Jesus took them up to a room and had a Passover meal with them on Thursday night. And he said, this is my body broken for you. He did the Lord's Supper with them. And then after that, he washed their feet. And then he was betrayed that night. And the Roman guards came and they took him away. And he said, you don't have to fight for me. I'm giving my life away. I lay my life down. The Roman guards, they took him away that night. All night was filled with these false trials. They had these sort of trumped up juries, these false testimony. And Jesus was condemned. He was condemned wrongfully. He was unjust. It was a travesty of justice. But he was condemned. And he was given over to the Roman authorities. And the Roman authorities, they took him to a cross and they crucified him. They executed him like a common criminal. And he hung there with his arms nailed to the wood, with his feet nailed to the wood, and he died. And it wasn't an accident. He did that on purpose. He gave his life away, but he died. And then when he was dead, his friends came to the cross and they took his body down and they wrapped it up in cloth as they would do, and they quickly put it in a tomb where someone else had planned to use for his own family. No one was laid in it yet. So they put Jesus' body in there. They did it really fast. And they closed that tomb up with a stone. They rolled the stone over the tomb. That was Friday night. Saturday is a Sabbath. You do no work. Sunday morning, Mary, she got up. And she went back to that place. Why? Because what she wanted to do is take care of her friend's body with all the spices and ointments and things that you would normally do when you were not in a rush. And she got there and she saw that the tomb was opened up. And then she saw that Jesus' body wasn't there. And she starts crying. So that's where we pick up on this story. Here's what happens. At this, verse 14, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. So she's looking down where Jesus' body was. She turns around, looks out of that space, and she looks and she sees a man standing. She says, Jesus standing there. But look what happens. She did not realize that it was Jesus. But now look at this. I wonder if you've ever seen this before. Just a couple verses later, verse 16. See, she turned and saw Jesus standing there. But verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, and then she did what? What did she do? She turned toward him. And she cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means she turned toward him. Are you catching this yet? She was already facing him. They were standing face to face. I mean, she's standing there looking at him. She doesn't know who he is. She doesn't realize who he is. But she's standing there face to face. And the Bible says she turned toward, like, what do you mean? Like, how does she turn toward him? She's already facing him. What is this? If you were writing a movie, if you were like producing a stage screenplay or something like that, or you were directing him, you would say to the actors, okay, now turn toward him. And she would be like, what am I supposed to do? I'm facing him. I'm already facing him. And she turned toward, the Bible doesn't make accents. Are you with me? Are you catching what this little thing is? I'm taking you down a Bible nerd rabbit trail right now. Because I'm telling you, this caught me years ago, and I studied the Greek, I read the commentaries, I sifted the wisdom of the ancients. Like, what is going on? She's already facing him, and the Bible says she turned toward him. I'll tell you what it is. It's a second turning. It's a turning of her heart. It's a turning of her mind. She doesn't even move. She doesn't even move her eyes. But she turns toward him. We've been in the series called Turn Again. Turn Again. It's about conversion. It's about meeting Jesus. It's about not just adding Jesus to your life like an accessory, a spiritual accessory. It's about actually seeing who Jesus is, giving your life to Jesus and finding new life in him. It's about turning to him for new life. Because when you do that, when you open your heart to him, your mind, when you open your eyes to him, everything changes in your life. You get a totally new direction on life. You become a new person. Turn again. And what we need is exactly what happened to Mary that morning in front of the empty tomb. What we need is the second turning. The second turning. Open your heart to Jesus. Turn again and see him for who he is. Believe and turn again. Let's walk through it. Verse 11. Mary stood outside the tomb, and what's she doing? She's crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She's crying. It starts with her crying. You know, there's a lot to cry about. Life is hard. And sometimes we need to cry. We need to cry. Mary, it starts with her crying. The Bible calls it lament. Christians call it lament. What does lament mean? Lament means it's okay to cry. Lament is a prayer before God where you express your hurt, where you say, God, this is hard. This isn't fair. My life is different. It is, you express to God the honest truth that it is hard to live a broken life as a broken man in a broken world, waiting for things to be put back the way that they ought to be. It's hard. And we need to cry sometimes. And God wants us to do that. A third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. Do you know that? There's Psalms in the Bible that are just there to teach you how to cry in front of God and say, you know, God, this hurts. It hurts to live life like this. I'm hurting right now. We think that Christianity is about getting our act together and presenting it to God as an all-together thing. Like, look, God, I got my act together. God doesn't want you to get your act together. God wants you to bring your acts to Him. Amen. Together, not together, whatever. He wants you to bring it to Him. And if your heart hurts, He wants to hear that, especially when your heart hurts. It begins with her crying. But lament, you know, it isn't just a place to camp out in the mess. It isn't wallowing in self-pity. Mark Vrogup is a pastor. He's written about lament. He says, lament is a prayer in pain that leads somewhere. It leads where? It leads to trust. When you open your heart to God, you're honest about what hurts. You show Him your tears. You show Him your pain. And what happens is you go on a process. You go on a journey. You don't just camp out in a complainy cul-de-sac. God starts to take you on a journey. You say, God, it hurts. He says, come with me. And then what happens is you're led to a place of greater trust, to deeper reality than the realities that are making you hurt. A truer truth. And you know what that truer truth is? That you can trust God, even in the pain. You can trust God. He's good. Maybe as you come to Easter today, you'd love to have everything all together and rosy. But if you're honest, you'd rather just stand outside of the tomb and shed some tears. That's okay. Sometimes it's all we have. It begins with Mary being honest. She's crying. The angels ask her, why are you crying? Look at this. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? And she says, well, they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put Him. The angels ask, what's the grounds for your lament? What's the basis? What do these tears come from? Now, Mary, she's just been through a horrific trauma. I mean, she's been traumatized by the last few days. Obviously, she has many reasons to be crying. Why are you crying? But for the empty tomb, what does she say? She says they've taken Him away. What Mary's trying to do is she's trying to make sense. She comes to the tomb where Jesus' body was laid, and there's no body there. Nobody expected no body. Yeah, sometimes you get a laugh, sometimes you don't. Nobody expected no body. So what do you do with that? Well, she's trying to make sense of it. She's trying to come to a reasonable explanation. How do you make sense of Jesus? What's your reasonable, rational explanation? Who was this man? What's his impact on the world? How do you come to terms with Jesus of Nazareth? What's the rational explanation for who He was? A lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't even believe He existed. You do surveys and some people say, I think Jesus was a myth. Well, I'll tell you right off. I mean, there is more historical attestation to the existence of this particular man than there is to any man who ever existed. So he was, and most people do believe he was, but who was he? Was he a wonder worker? Was he like a moral philosopher? Was he a religious guru, a good teacher? Who was he? What do you think the average Colorado Springs citizen thinks of Jesus? What is the rational explanation? They think, well, he seems to have been a good man. He made a big impact. But you know what? People don't rise from the dead. They don't rise from the dead. So what's the rational explanation? They took him somewhere. Somewhere there's a pile of bones. She's trying to make sense of it. And then this happened. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus is right in front of her. But because she's so sure of what she's knowing right now, she can't even see him. Because she's so certain, she can't see that Jesus is right there standing in front of her. Here's Jesus. Here's Jesus, the same Jesus that she knew before, standing in front of her. She can't see him. Let me ask you this. What do you know of Jesus? What have you been told of Jesus? What have you been exposed to? How do you think of Jesus? How do you conceive of him? How does he present himself to you? What would it take for you to turn again, to take a second look, to open your mind? Jesus was standing right before her. She thought he was the gardener. She thought Jesus was dead. Jesus said to her, "Mary. Mary. Mary." Right? "Mary." And when he said that, she says, she turns toward him and cried out in Aramaic, her mother tongue, "Rabboni, my teacher." All of a sudden, she's right there in the same place that she was. She knows everything about Jesus that she just did 2 seconds ago, and now she sees him. Now she knows him. Now she knows she's in his presence. She's had a second turning, a turning of her heart, and her heart is open to knowing who Jesus is, to seeing him for who he is. What is the second turning? What is this shift that happens? Right in front of her face. Sometimes we think Christianity is about adopting a new philosophy or a new set of beliefs. We think Christianity is about stepping into some healthier habits, you know, for healthier living. We think Christianity is about sort of adding some spiritual accessories, you know, to augment our lives. No. Christianity is an offer for you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As he's standing before you, all that you know of him, what would it take for you to look again? When you do, when you see him, when you open your life to him, when you recognize him for who he is, here's what happens. Your whole life changes. The things that you were certain of before, as things that you held onto as indubitable realities, you're no longer convinced. The ways, the directions that you used to want to go in life, the things you used to want to run after, you're not even interested. The thirsts for pleasures that you used to have, that you used to think were the highest pleasures available to a human life, you hardly even care about them in comparison to who Jesus is, because you're changed inside. You're a different person inside. When you have the second turning, you become a new man, a new woman. The old is gone. The new has come. You have a new direction, a new destination, a new purpose to your life. You have a new relationship with your God in Jesus Christ. It happened to Mary, standing right there. It can happen to you sitting right where you are this morning. Turn again. "Well, I thought Jesus was dead." I mean, Easter's fun for kids, you know. But a dead man doesn't get up again after he's dead. Are you sure? We've been having in this series stories like you heard Sophie's story at the beginning of the message, stories of Jesus intersecting with lives, Jesus showing up. Scott was the first one out of the gate, and he said, "You know, when I met Jesus, it filled a hole in my life. Like there was a gap in my life, and then when I met Jesus, it filled that gap in my life. But the thing that Scott said was that then my life was directed by Jesus. I was on a journey. The most beautiful part of being in relationship with Jesus is the journey," he said. "What do you mean going on a journey? I thought Jesus was dead." man named Dick said, yeah, when I was a young man, I was falling in love with a woman, and as I was going towards that woman, as I was kind of wanting to intersect with her, you know, Jesus intersected with me. Jesus showed up in my life, and he compelled me, he convinced me, he moved me, he made my life different. Dick said this. He said, I'm convinced that he, Jesus, drew me to himself. Well, Jesus was a pile of bones. Shannon said, I came to church and I realized there's a Jesus who truly loves me, who actually loved me. Love? Actual love. From a figment of imagination, from a person in history? I thought Jesus was a pile of bones buried in a grave. Ken, when he was a young man, he got mixed up in drugs. He actually got arrested for selling drugs. He's one of our elders now. Don't tell anybody. And Ken said, yeah, I got arrested. Like, I got arrested. And then he said, Jesus met me in that. And I've been following Jesus, walking with Jesus, he says. His words, not mine. I've been walking with Jesus for 45 years. He said, now that my heart has been changed, I can see what a difference it makes whenever someone is willing to submit to the words that Jesus said. I thought Jesus was... That doesn't sound like the influence of a dead man. Listen to me. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And when I say Jesus is alive, I don't mean it in kind of like if we keep his memory alive, he's always with us kind of a way. I don't mean it in a sort of like, if we do what he taught us to do, then it's like he's alive, you know? I don't mean that. What I mean is Jesus is alive. Jesus is God who came and took on flesh. This was a man who lived. He walked the ground of Jerusalem. He walked the streets, he healed, he taught, he loved people, he showed the goodness of the kingdom of God and the goodness of God in heaven. And he was taken and he was arrested and he was condemned and he was beaten and he was put on a cross, he was hung on a cross of wood, an actual cross of wood, and he actually died. He actually breathed his last. He poured out all of his blood, and it wasn't an accident. He did it on purpose. He said to his disciples, no one takes my life from me. I lay my life down and I have the power to take it up again. He gave his life as a sacrifice so that his life, his death, would be the death that you and I deserved for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and get brought into eternal life. This Jesus, he lived, he taught, he died. He died on a cross. And when his body was dead, his disciples took his body down from that cross and wrapped it in cloth and laid it in a tomb outside of Jerusalem and shut the door over it. And there he lay, cold and dead. And on the third day, on a Sunday morning, he rose again from the dead. His body got up, and that stone was blown off the front of the tomb, and he walked out of there alive. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that body actually went up into heaven to be with the Father, and his spirit is right here. And if you open your mind, if you open your heart, you can feel it. Jesus is not dead. He is alive, and he's present. Do you remember what Sophie said? After she lost her father, when she was feeling all that pain, she wasn't sure if she wanted to get close to the Lord. Remember what she said? She said, when I walked into the church, when I walked into the community of believers, like you're in the community of believers right now, she said, the presence of the Holy Spirit was so intense. I could feel it. Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. Turn again. There's another story that we told along the way. A woman named Cynthia. Cynthia, when she was a young woman, she got into some trouble. She was headed down a pretty tough path, and a friend of hers came up to her and said, "Cynthia, what do you believe? If you were going to die right now, if you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell?" And she said, I don't know. I'd probably go to hell." And her friend said, "It doesn't have to be like that." And her friend invited her to a small group, like a Christian, like a Bible study, like a small group of believers. And what Cynthia says, her words, not mine, what Cynthia says is, "I went to that group, and there I met Jesus." You hear that? Not I studied about Jesus, not I learned about Jesus, not I thought about Jesus and what he taught. No, no. What did she say? "I met Jesus." And you can meet him too. He is not dead. He is alive. And from that day, she knew where she was going after she died. Listen to me. If Jesus can come and die on the cross and rise again from the dead, then he has the authority to make a promise and make it stick, to tell you where you'll be after you die. And I don't mind asking you that same question. She got asked a hard question from her friend. I don't mind asking you, do you know? Where will you be after you die? I learned this year, again in a way, but I learned this year, we don't know how long our lives are. None of us knows how many days we have. Our days are numbered. I've attended funerals this year from 95 years old to 19 years old to 9 months. We don't know how long we have. But we do know this. We do know that every one of us is going to breathe our last. And on that day, when you breathe your last breath, there's only one question. Did you turn to Jesus? Did you open your heart to him the way that Mary opened her heart to him in front of that tomb? Did you turn to Jesus and trust him? Did you see him for who he is? Did you give him your life and ask him to care for it? Only he has the authority to keep your life. Did you turn again? Because here's the truth, and people say this is we don't say this truth. This is a hard truth. We don't say this truth. People say that's mean to say that. It's not mean. It's true. Here's the truth. If your answer is no, and you die in your sins, then you will die divorced from God, separated from the author of life, subject to punishment for all your sins, apart from the grace won by Jesus. But if you open your heart, if you turn again, if you turn like Mary and see Jesus for who he is and allow him to be who he is, who has won the Savior that he has made himself through the cross, that if you allow him to be who he is in your life, if you turn again to him, a contrite spirit, the Lord will in no way despise. You know what that means? That means God would never turn away from you when you turn to him. He doesn't turn away from people who turn to him. From anyone who turns to him in faith, he welcomes you into eternal life. That's what's on offer, you see. That's who Jesus is. See, this world is a mess. It's full of pain. It's full of unhappiness. It's full of anxiety. Yeah. And we should be about fixing that. Let me tell you, there is no deeper and more corrosive source of brokenness than the fact that we have turned our back on God. There's unhappiness. Yeah, you're unhappy because you were meant to be in a relationship with your Creator and you've turned your back on Him. You're full of anxiety because you've divorced yourself from the one who says, be not anxious. There's unrest because we're walking directly away from the Prince of Peace, the God, the author of salvation. Turn again. Turn again to Him. I want to ask you to pray this morning, and I want to be as clear as I can be about this. This is the offer of salvation. This is the offer to turn again and see Jesus for who He is and become a new person by saying yes and opening your heart to Him. This is how it begins. Simple prayer. Prayer that says, Lord, I see You. I see You. So would you bow your heads? And I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to pray. I beg you to pray. Jesus has won eternal life for you. Turn again to Him. Picture Him. Open your mind. Open your heart. Don't leave this prayer up here in my lips. Take this prayer into your heart and return it to the Lord. Your prayer, your personal relationship with Jesus, that's what matters. No one else is yours. And let's pray. Jesus, eternal one, You conquered the grave. You rose again from the dead. I've got no rational explanation. I'm not going to explain it away, Jesus. You did it, and You're alive. And I can sense that You're here. I can tell that You love me. Thank You for dying for me so that I can be forgiven. Thank You for winning eternal life and for offering it to me. Jesus, turn me and I will be turned. Save me and I will be saved. Open my eyes and I will see. I see You, Lord. I see You. I see what You've done for me. I love You. I give You my life. I dedicate myself to You. Come flooding into my heart, Jesus, that I can know You and walk with You. I trust You with my life. Yesterday, today, right now, tomorrow, and all my tomorrows. Until You walk with me into the kingdom You've built. Jesus, I'm Yours. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Friends, it's as simple as that. This life with Christ, it begins with a prayer. It begins with opening your heart, saying, yes, Jesus, I see You. If you have opened your heart to Christ and you're feeling His love in a different way, we want to know that. Talk to one of the pastors here. We want to help you understand it and take next steps to keep walking like that with Jesus. We're going to have a baptism service next week at 1:00. And, you know, we've got 10 people who are coming to be baptized for the first time and 7 people who are coming to celebrate being baptized earlier with an immersion because they've renewed their faith in Christ. 17 people are coming. Maybe you need to be number 18. Open your heart to Christ. There is new life won by Jesus Christ. Come to Him.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting Him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.